In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're continuing on, it's number 17, what the priests should not be doing. And what we read last week, a priest must never use the power of his word for viciousness or for evil. He must remember that that same power bestowed on him in his ordination that calls God from heaven in the consecration of the host, heals the sick and forgives the sin, remains at the same, that same power if it is used in anger, sin, or for any evil, doing great sorrow to Jesus and harm to souls. So here we see that like the angels are filled with divine power. And when the angels fell, they used that divine power in against God, hurting, harming souls. And the same thing happens to all of us as well. What God blesses us with can be used against God. And so he says, a priest must never use the power for viciousness or for evil. And this is, again, in this time, in these days, Jesus tells Luisa that his greatest sorrow is the terrible plight of his priests. And this is the laity's responsibility is to pray for priests. Our Lady said, you know, don't criticize the priests. Even Saint Francis said that if an angel appeared to him or a fallen priest, he would kiss the hands of a priest and really ignore the angel. And the reason is the power of the priesthood is alter Christus, to be another Christ, to use the power that God gave to the apostles to heal the sick, raise the dead, expel the demons. And that power is the power of the priesthood. Unfortunately today, this is the saddest thing for Jesus. And, you know, when we read volume 10, we hear how sad Jesus is because of the terrible plight of the priests today. And, but God is going to change all that. He said he's going to change his priesthood. He's going to sanctify his priesthood. He's going to, bring about a new beginning for the priesthood. He says, the way I wanted it from the beginning. So we can see some glorious things that are coming, and he's going to use the priesthood in a very powerful way, he tells Luisa. He says, prodigies unheard of. So in Matthew 9, verse 8, and the multitude seeing it feared and glorified God that gave such power to men. When Peter used that power of the priesthood, when the apostles did this, the multitude. See, this is again. Jesus says this is going to happen again. The multitude, in seeing the power of the priesthood, fearing and glorifying God that God gave such power to men, and it's not. It's not for themselves. It's all for the glory of God. It's all for the salvation of souls. And we're going to, again, see the power of the priesthood in such a way that everyone will say, we want to be baptized Catholics. That's what's coming upon the earth. When you read the book of heaven, you see what Jesus is getting us ready for. And it's the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven, the New Jerusalem. And every human being who will survive what's coming, and it's going to be tough, but every human being that survives what's coming is going to say, how do we possess this life that they're going to see? And the multitude seeing it feared and glorified God. Basically, it's going to be very, very interesting because Jesus says, they're going to hear you must be a baptized Catholic. You must go through holy baptism first, because that brings you into the image of God, following the dogma and doctrine of our faith. And then after that, when mankind begins to see this sanctification that's coming, everybody's going to say, how do I become part of this? How can I possess this sharing in divinity, this clothed in divine royalty? How can I participate in this? And that's where it's going to begin. It's going to begin through holy baptism. Matthew 10, verse 1. And having called his 12 apostles together, Jesus gave them power over the unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of diseases and all manner of infirmities. So again, this is another thing that's going to be happening. The demons are going to be gone. See, when the kingdom of God comes on earth as it is in heaven, those that have been cast out of heaven will be cast out of earth. How is that going to happen? Well, Jesus, like he says, having called his 12 apostles together, he gave them power over unclean spirits. And this, again, this is why it's really important to understand the power of the priesthood. It's not to be in charge. It's to cast out demons. It's to heal the sick. It's to raise the dead to life. And to heal all manner of diseases and all manner of infirmities. The kingdom of God, as it comes on earth, as it is in heaven, again, this has not been seen yet. The kingdom of God that's going to come on earth as it is in heaven is the life that Jesus lived, that Our Lady lived. It's the life that Adam had before the fall. And again, those are the three that possessed it. Now, because of what Jesus and Mary have given to Luisa is the firstborn, the newborn of the divine will, who also possesses this gift. And Jesus, through the power of the priesthood, said to Luisa, write down everything that he tells Luisa. And that's what she put down in the Book of Heaven. And as we read it, we begin to understand this new and divine way of holiness that Pope St. John Paul II prophesied about. This is what's coming to humanity. And Jesus is given the priest the power over unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all manner of diseases and all manner of infirmities. And at this point, you know, an exorcism, an official exorcism, you have to have permission from the bishop. That's basically something that's hidden. It's given to certain priests who the bishop feels would be able to effectively use that ministry of exorcism to bring about a new beginning for those people. But Jesus says, what's coming, he tells Luisa, he keeps on saying to Luisa, and I just got a call, you know, a couple of days ago, somebody just saying how they are totally amazed listening to Jesus speak to Luisa, reading what Jesus speaks to Luisa, how much our God loves us, that he would predestine us to live at this time to see, to experience what God is going to bring upon the earth. It's not doom and gloom. It's not, you know, pulling out your hair or going, well, what are we going to do? It's God is in charge. He is our Lord. He's our Savior. He's our Master. His church, the gates of hell, will not prevail against it. I mean, it's going to be attacked inside and out, but there's nothing to be afraid of. There's nothing to be terrified of. God is going to use his priesthood in a very powerful way, a very quiet and reserved way, where as when the multitudes see what God is going to do, they're going to fear and glorify God that he has given such power to men. It's not for the priest to have the power, but it's to free mankind. You know, I've seen people going to confession, you know, having a very traumatic life and going to confession and confessing their life and watching in a twinkling of an eye, a person changing right in front of me. It's the confession is a healing sacrament. The confession is to restore the innocence, restore the purity, restore the light, the life, the love of God in souls. And it's an astonishing thing to witness, and people know. I remember this one girl when she was completely physically healed, and I said, you know, God has healed you. And she said, basically, very, very clearly, it doesn't matter if Jesus healed me or not. She said, what matters is I know Jesus Christ. This is something that God is doing. The priest is just the tool, the instrument. But Jesus is doing this. Jesus is changing souls. He's bringing about a new and divine way of holiness that he has planned from the beginning of time to happen at this time. That's why Our Lady said to Bruno in 1947, time has now come to an end. It's not the end of the world. It's the end of the reign of the evil one. The kingdom is coming. And what seems like disorder, God is getting everything in order. He's getting everything ready for his kingdom to be established on earth as it is in heaven. And when you read the book of heaven, that is magnified. Every day when you read, he shows you more and more and more of how much he loves humanity. So Jesus says in Luke 4:36, and there came fear upon all, and they talked among themselves, saying, what word is this? For with authority and power he has commanded the unclean spirits, and they go out. This is what God gave to the priesthood. What authority? And if when priests begin to understand the power of exercised salt, exercised water, exercised oil, exercised bells, it drives the demons away. And the demons don't want it. The demons have to obey the priest. The demons have to, when the priest says the prayers over salt and water and oil and bells, when we do blessings of the land, of the fruit, of the trees, of the crops, of the animals, those words spoken as Jesus, those are the words of Jesus, and the demons have to obey. So even one ding of a bell, it's seven psalms the demon hears being prayed, and the demons flee. The demons flee. They can't stay there. And then even with the ringing of a bell that's been blessed, it will stop hurricanes and floods and famines and plagues and hail and storms. I've seen it. And I remember the first time when we prayed, it was a huge storm coming, and you know, the whole house was shaking, and on the deck, you know, I go, this house is gone. I mean, there's nothing we can do. I mean, so I just prayed, and in an instant, it was like a switch. It went click. It was off. The wind died down. Everything stopped. And I went, holy moly, the Lord is powerful. The Lord is amazing. But see, these are minor things that are happening. Jesus said about miracles, he says, every person that was healed 100 years ago is dead. In the divine will, Jesus says it's going to be the miracle of miracles that's going to happen. The miracle of miracles is it's not just to be healed to die. It's divine healing that's coming to humanity. This divine healing, basically what scripture says, no more sorrow, no more sadness, no more sin, no more death. That's the kingdom. And we have to understand that our God has got great, great plans, and he needs the power of the priesthood, especially the priests of the divine will. He needs them to begin to live this life that he has planned, not the priest. And so fear came upon them, and they talked among themselves, saying, what word is this? For with authority and power, Jesus commands, and the unclean spirits, they go out. We're going to see this. We're going to witness this. God is going to use his priesthood in a very, very powerful manner. 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 verse 5. For our gospel has not been unto you in word only, but in power also, and in the Holy Ghost, and as much fullness as you know what manner of men we have been among you for your sakes. See, God is going to bring about a new and divine way of holiness, as Pope St. John Paul prophesied, a new and divine way of holiness that St. Honorable de Francia stated. It's this new and divine way of holiness is Catholic. It's universal. It's the life that Adam had before the fall. It's the true life of Jesus, the new Adam, the true life of Mary, the new Eve that was breathed into Louisa. And God wants to breathe that in to his priest, as Louisa said, as Jesus tells Louisa first the priest, and then to the children, to the laity. The priests have to know this. The priests have to live this. And our God's got great, great plans. Like I've said before, the rectories are empty. The psychiatric units are full. The hospitals are full. The prisons are full. They have to be emptied. And it's not to break free, but for healing. The healing that comes from the priesthood is going to happen. We're going to witness this. And God's got it all planned. Everything he says, the multitude had seen it, feared and glorified God that gave such power to men. It's to bring everyone back to Christ, to bring everyone into the kingdom, to begin to live heaven on earth, not just being about good and holy and saintly, but sharing in divinity, which the priest says every day at Holy Mass, putting the drop of water into the chalice. So Jesus says, in volume 2, 4, 16, 18, 99, what should I tell you then, O my daughter, about certain priests of these times? Now, again, this is 1900, 1899. One can say that the priests operate almost satanically, reaching to the point of making themselves idols of souls. This is something that happens with the priesthood, where people they respect the priest more than they respect Jesus. The thing that Jesus is saying, the priest has to be the servant. The priest has to be the brother to help them come to Jesus, to recognize Jesus, not the priest, but recognize Jesus. He says they almost operate satanically, reaching the point of making themselves idols of souls. Ah, yes, it is by my sons that my heart, my sacred heart, is pierced the most, by my priests that make my sacred heart pierced most. This sadness that Jesus sees is not the humility of Jesus in the priest, but demanding, making themselves idols of souls. These sons pierce my heart, because if others offend me more, these priests offend the members of my body. But my own, listen to this, but my own offend me in the most sensitive and tender parts. This is why we see the Sacred Heart of Jesus surrounded by thorns. A heart surrounded by thorns. How painful that must be deep into my inmost heart. His heart is on fire because he loves us. His heart is pierced in two because he shed every drop of blood. Yet all that Jesus has done, the heart is still surrounded by thorns. And every time it pulsates, it's being pierced. And Jesus says that these are the ones that have done this. These are the ones that offend me the most. He says, deep into my innermost heart. And we also see Our Lady's heart, her Immaculate Heart, how it reflects the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And we also see the heart of Louisa, Jesus shows us the heart of Louisa. He says to Louisa, your heart basically is on fire. It reflects the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Immaculate Heart of Mary. But there's a spear from the earth through her heart, from earth to heaven. And then Jesus says, and a bolt of lightning from heaven to earth through her heart. So we see this X, if you want to say, like the crucifixion of St. Andrew on the cross, the X of the cross. We see that this heart of Louisa is also reflecting the love of God, because when you read, you'll hear her say often, if you need me to die for each soul, I will do that. So each soul can enter into the kingdom. We understand this, why Jesus chose her. Most of us are cowards. We're afraid of a sliver, you know. And Jesus, when he comes to Louisa, she says, I will give up everything for a soul. And Jesus asks her that, you know, there was one soul that was on the verge of going into hell. And Jesus said to Louisa, would you suffer the crucifixion for this soul? And Louisa said, yes. And which one of us could have done that for someone that we didn't know? That was Louisa. We understand Louisa a little bit more. And it's important that we know what Jesus is going through. The greatest sorrow is the terrible plight of his priesthood. That's his greatest sorrow. And so the laity's responsibility is to pray for bishops, to pray for priests, to pray for deacons, to pray for cardinals, to pray for the Pope. It's their responsibility. Because what does Jesus say? He offered one prayer, the Our Father, to pray. But then he said to the communities to pray to the Lord of the harvest for harvesters. Pray to the Lord of the harvest, basically for priests, for bishops, for deacons, the clerics, because these are the ones that Jesus says hurt his heart the most. Volume 10, 119, 1911. You do not know what the spirit of the priests of these times is. So now Jesus, again, this is 1911. Jesus is going to show us the spirit of the priests 100 years ago. And continuing, it is nothing dissimilar than that of the secular, a spirit of revenge, a spirit of hatred, a spirit of interest, a spirit of blood. See, the priesthood has to be, this is the reason for the priest to be in charge of the Eucharist. So they can go to the tabernacle anytime and be with Jesus. And that should be the priest's responsibility of leading people to be with our Eucharistic Lord every day, to lead people in to spend time with our Eucharistic Lord. Just to glance at him with love, Jesus says, is what he's longing for. He says everyone ignores him. Everybody walks away from him. But the priests have to be the ones who are in charge of the Eucharist, in charge of the tabernacle, to open up the tabernacle for the people so that the people can see Jesus and be with Jesus. And then he has to lead the charge by being there in front of the Blessed Sacrament. This changes everything. It changes everything. John Paul II wanted Eucharistic adoration in every parish, and that was the 1980s. He asked that every parish have Eucharistic adoration, not for a day, but like in the Vatican, it's there for the people to see. Jesus wants to console us. He knows what we're going through. He knows the times we're living in. And if we're not with him, we're panicking. If we're not with him, we're upset. We are not surrendered to our God. We become afraid. We become angry. And this is not what Jesus wants. He wants his people to be with him. I mean, think about a shepherd taking care of the sheep with wolves all around. as long as the sheep are in that corral, with the shepherd as the gatekeeper, the sheep have nothing to worry about. It's the wolves are all around us. The demons, they want to just destroy what God loves, and he loves his children. And what we see all around us is the evil one convincing people to destroy God's children. And this is coming to an end. See, this is the best part. It's close. Everything is close. The kingdom is close. The New Jerusalem, we just heard about that the other day, the New Jerusalem coming down from heaven. It's close. And Jesus, he has allowed us to live at this time to watch what God is going to do. And so what is he doing? He's talking to the priesthood and he's saying to them, you know, if you're with me, watch what I will do with you. So he says in volume 12, 9, 4, 19, 18, my daughter, creatures want to challenge my divine justice. Creatures do not want to surrender. And therefore, my justice takes its course against them. So the justice of God is everybody gets what they deserve. That's terrifying. Every thought, every word, every deed, we're responsible for. Scripture says every idle word, you're going to be judged. It's every thought, every thought, every word, every deed. Our God is saying, sorry, he's asking us to begin to embrace him so that he can free us from ourselves. So he says this, creatures want to challenge my divine justice. They don't want to surrender. Therefore, my divine justice takes its course against them. Jesus returns, scripture says, with divine justice. That's what's coming. Everybody's going to get what they deserve. That's why the illumination of conscience is going to be terrifying. Every thought, every word, every deed is going to be placed before us. And this is how you've lived. This is it. We're all going to say, you know, give me another chance. You know, don't give up on me. Every one of us is going to say, I didn't realize how serious this is. See, we have to, Jesus tells Louisa, we have to have the holy humanity of Jesus within us. Anything that's opposed to the holy humanity that is not purified, not purged from us, either in this life, it will be in the next. This purging is so that, why? He purges us of everything that is opposed to the holy humanity of Jesus. Why? So that we can share in divinity. But he says, I'm not going to mix divinity with that which is fallen. I can't. So when the priest puts the drop of water in the chalice, may we share in the divinity of Christ. Jesus is saying, I want you to learn. I want you to long for this new and divine way of holiness that's coming upon the earth. That's the only way you're going to be perfected. Be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. Be perfected as your Heavenly Father is perfect. It's all based on love. And it's not human love. It's divine love. And so this is what Jesus says. And these are creatures from all classes, excepting not, sorry, even those who are said to be my priests. Maybe these more than others. So here Jesus is saying the priests are going to be judged more severely. The bishops are going to be judged more severely. A pastor is in charge of every soul in his parish. Every soul in his parish. The Buddhists, the Hindus, the Muslims, the Protestants, the atheists. He's the pastor of this area. And he is responsible for every soul. If somebody doesn't get to heaven, Jesus is going to say, what did you do? He says this to the priests. What did you do to help this soul who is in need? How did you help them? And this is why some of the saints say that the pavement of hell is covered with the skulls of priests. Another saint said that the pavement of hell is covered with the crushed skulls of bishops. This is what the saints have said. And so therefore, we have to be praying for the priests, for the bishops, for the deacons. We have to pray. He says very clearly, and these are creatures of all classes, excepting not even those who are said to be my priests, and maybe these people, these priests, more than the others. Listen to this. What poison have they, and they poison those who approach them? What poison? This is what Jesus is saying. Instead of placing me, Jesus, in the souls, they want to put themselves in charge. He says this. They want to be surrounded, they want to be known, while I, God, remain aside. Their poisonous contact, instead of rendering the souls recollected, distracts them from me, Jesus. And then it says this. This is the sad part. Instead of rendering themselves reserved, it makes them more free, more faulty, to the extent that one can see souls who have no contact with them, these priests, being more good and more recollected. Jesus says, the reason people leave the church are for bad priests, bad nuns, bad bishops. See, Jesus says this vocation to the priesthood is from God himself. It's to die. This is why we wear black, to die to our ego and our will, so that everything is focused on God and God alone. Not to have your vacation or your cottage or your hobbies. That has to go. What has to be there is the love of God, the desire for God, more than anything else. So Jesus says this. He says, instead of rendering the souls reserved to make that, they make them more free, more faulty, to the extent that one can see souls who have no contact with these priests being more good and more recollected. So I, God, cannot trust anyone. I am forced to allow that people go far away from the churches, far away from the sacraments, in order to prevent their contact from the poisoning, from them poisoning them more and making them more evil. So why is everything falling apart? Jesus says, I have to blame the priests. Why is everything falling apart? Why are there 40,000 Protestant denominations? He says, I am forced to allow that the people go far away from the churches. I am forced to allow the people to go far away from the sacraments. I am forced in order to prevent their contact from poisoning the souls more, making them more evil. These are the words of Jesus. I mean, these are the words of Jesus. And, you know, I look at the North American martyrs. I look at what they went through, Jesuits, what they went through being here in the North America. And I mean, they read their lives, read the Saint Among Savages, read what they went through to bring the faith to the natives. Read what they went through. I mean, the Isaac Jogues having his fingers chewed off. They didn't cut him off. The squaws chewed his fingers off. Because he held the host. His hands during mass were like this. And they said, there's something wrong. So they chewed his fingers off. And what does he do? At 28 years old, he comes back from France. Why? To be with the people, to bring the Eucharist to them, to bring the sacraments to them. And as soon as he walks through the tent, he's gone. He's dead. But you have such beauty that comes to the natives, like with St. Kateri Tekawitha. I mean, a beautiful soul who her whole life was wanting to be a bride of Christ. The priesthood, Jesus says he's going to make the priesthood to what he has planned from the beginning. And he's going to do it. But he's looking for the souls, and he's looking for the prayers of the laity to bring this about. It's not to curse a person. It's to help them. And again, the prayers of the divine will are powerful. And the more that a person prays in the divine will, the more power comes from that prayer. Why? Because it's Jesus's prayer. Jesus is praying in our praying. Jesus is breathing in our breathing. Jesus is beating in our heart beating. And so as the community prays, pray to the Lord of the harvest for the harvesters, as the community prays this prayer, what happens? The face of the earth changes. That's what's coming. He says, Jesus says about his priesthood, he says, my sorrow is great. The wounds of my heart are deep. My sorrow is great. The wounds of my heart are deep. Just think of these thorns. I mean, his heart is already split in two. He shed every drop of his blood for our redemption. And yet, the priesthood is the one that, if he says, surrounded by thorns, every time his heart beats, these thorns go deeper and deeper into his heart. So the laity have the responsibility to pray for the priests. And I mean, this is why at Holy Mass, we pray for the Pope and the bishops every day. They have a terrible responsibility. And Jesus says they will be severely, punished if they don't. If they're living a life for themselves. So our job is to pray, and it's not to condemn, not to point their finger, but it's to say to Jesus, you're asking me to help your church by praying for the bishops, the priests, the deacons, the cardinals, the Pope, and I will do that. And so that what? So that people will not leave the church. So that they will not leave the sacraments, so that the poisoning will be stopped, so that the church is seen as the bride of Christ. So what God is doing right now with the church, with the Holy Church, is he's ironing the bride's dress, cleaning the stains off the dress. The wedding feast is close. That's what heaven is. Heaven is the wedding feast. And Jesus came to earth for a bride, and God's getting everything ready for his bride. And he has allowed us to be at this point at this time to watch what he is doing and to celebrate what he is doing. That's why as you read, as you study, Jesus doesn't hold any punches back. He says, this is what's happening. And this is going to change. He says, this is the way it is. This is his terrible, the plight of the priesthood is what sorrows him the most. And this is all going to stop because he's going to use the priesthood in the way he says to Louisa that he has planned from the beginning. So good things are right around the corner. Amazing things are right around the corner. It's not to condemn. The evil one loves to point. Look at that. Look what they're doing. No, it's not to point. It's to pray so that there could be everything can be healed. Everything can be restored. Everything can be put in proper order. And God, the best thing is this, is we're going to witness this. We're going to see what God is doing. And I mean, what a amazing time to be alive. When he tells us The thing that hurts him the most is his priesthood. But the thing that gladdens him the most is what he has breathed into the priesthood, what he knows is going to happen because of the priesthood. Great things are around the corner, and God is going to do this. And he says to Louisa, he's going to do it with the priests who are living in the divine will. Because when you want to live in the divine will, it's not your will anymore. It's not what you want. It's not what you think. It's not what you say. It's this total surrender, total docility, total submission. That's the life of the Blessed Mother. It's to let God have his way. Let it be done to me as you say, Jesus, Our Lady said to the angel. Let it be done as you wish. I am the slave girl of the Lord. It's the same thing with the priesthood. I remember when we went to the seminary, and the first thing they said to us is, your class, you're going to be the princes of the church. And I went, I don't think you know us. We're not princes. And interesting is we must start, the priesthood must start where Isaiah said, O worm Israel, O maggot Judah, that we are nothing. God is everything. And God uses the littlest, the weakest, the most insignificant. Father Bucci says to live in the divine will, you have to be little. You have to be insignificant. You have to be hidden. This is not for you. It's all for the glory of God. And he is allowing us to have the book of heaven. And as we read, as we study, as we put this into practice, everything changes. The world changes. The parish changes. The people change. The world is changing. We're seeing it happen. This is not doom and gloom out there. God is in charge, and God is going to win. So we'll end with a prayer. May the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name, under the mantle of Mary, through the intercession of Louisa, and we pray that this prayer becomes God's command. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. God bless you.